Hi everyone, this is Ritz.
And I'm S.
And we are recording our 10th episode of this podcast. Who would have thought we would get here? Not me, given my past month and a half of absence. But yeah, I'm excited to get to double digits.
Yes, indeed. I am so happy. Thank you so much. We crossed 100 subscribers. Thank you to each and every person who subscribed to us and gave our bakwas a wonderful chance. Thank you so much for your comments. I cannot stress enough ki each comment padke, we just have the biggest smile on our faces to read all of your thoughts. Thank you so, so, so much.
Yes, thank you. And I'm glad I have a co-host who can actually express emotions because she doesn't joke around when she says I'm like Arnav. It's very hard for me to say anything really outside of being angry. So, but thank you for listening and interacting with us. And yeah, I mean, I think it's a good thing because we have these conversations anyway and we would have recorded anyway, even if like no one's listening, because we're that kind of crazy. But it's nice to have people around who listen, interact, let us know what they think, because at the end of the day, this is, IPK to me was a big community and I'm glad to have it back 10 years down the line.
Yeah, exactly. So in the following weeks, there will be an interesting pattern. We'll be getting a flurry of guests who will be a part of our show. So be excited for that. Nobody famous, yaar. It's our own colleagues and friends. And
actually, we have Barun on next week, Sanaya the week after, you know, just manifest it into existence. As. But no, I apologize. I will not be a part of all of the podcast episodes. My work has really been kicking my butt recently, so I'll be in a few of the episodes and most of like the other segments, like top tens, or if I ever get around to it, other quizzes and stuff like that. But the main episodes, S will be hosting with wonderful co-hosts along the way. I hope you love them all as much as you have loved me, and support them too. So yeah, that's my spiel and apologies all done. Now we can actually go on to one of my favorite parts of the show. I think the longer this goes on, the less I'll say that, just so you are aware. But we will be talking about Tej today as a whole. Both, I guess, big events of Tej, like I categorize them in like different outfits, but however you think about them. S, what do you want to talk about first? What you liked or what you didn't like?
Oof, kya batao? Like, as Rid said, this is one of the earlier golden, like, it's these really good episodes that cemented IPK for what it could be. And basically, Tej is also one of my favorite tracks in the show. And I mean, in the first thing in the morning, they call it Ber Sarai ka. Like, I think Ber Sarai is a place where they go and they do the puja thing. So, I mean, my two cents on the Tej episode is, in general, I love it how they show this clear distinction between attraction and love, and they're maintaining it. It's easy to lose steam after some time. Like, you're attracted to a person, then it goes off, like, you know, you don't feel anything more. But over here, they kept that intensity of attraction. Like, you can clearly look at the screen and be like, yeah, these two are not in love with each other. Aisa kuch hua nahi. There's not been a moment for them to fall in love. Have they started slipping? Yes. Are they intensely attracted to each other? That is also yes. So I'll jump to the technical things that I did not like, or technical things that stood out. Not much, really. It's very, very insignificant. One thing, it's not a problem, it's just I noticed, is that Payal's dupatta changed from what Akash had originally given to her. Her original dupatta did not have a border to it. This one did. And I'm like, oh, interesting. Dupatta badal gaya. So that is there. And the second thing that I did not like, but perhaps it's okay given Indian television standards and expectations, is just until the moment that Shyam arrives, it is so, not Shyam's arrival, that's different, but until the moment he arrives, it is so dramatized. So dramatized. I'm like, what is this? Like, is a mythological demon going to make an appearance? Like, kya ho raha hai? And I think one of the reasons why I have my little bit of issues with Anjali crying and howling, and she starts doing this aarti like there's some ghost possessed in her. Like, that sequence, I skip every single time. I mean, due credit to the actors and cinematographers and everything, but oh my god, she takes that whole aarti thing and she's like doing puja of the god and like tears streaming down her eyes. I would literally feel her husband is coming back from the army. Like, what's happening? And Anjali was so afraid in that whole, like, first of all, just technically, it was over dramatized with so many shots that's been taking place. And I'll just switch a little bit to a story side that I didn't understand why Anjali was so afraid. Like, it's not that her husband was supposed to arrive a day earlier and he's not arrived and they're not being able to establish connection with him. She was literally on call with him, but the way she was howling and crying, I feel like we never get to know why that happened, because that fear looked a bit extra and unnecessary given that it did not have a foundation to it. But yeah, I just found, like, even with all the mantras and the puja and the whole heaven crashing down, that one sequence was a bit over the top for me. Technically, these are the issues I found a little bit. Payal got the new dupatta and Shyam ka, I don't know, Anjali pe mata chid gayi, something like that happened. What are yours, Rins?
Yeah, the Anjali sequence is weird. I still maintain that they had some track of maybe the, like, I don't know, there was something that they did not go forward with that exists, like, that was given to Diljit, or like as a character reference that she knew of, that, you know, because I don't, none of the characters in IBK, at least the main or like primary supporting cast, are bad actors. So I don't think if it didn't exist in script or in a character brief in general, they would have acted it out on screen. So this, like, this worry that constantly plagued Anjali and this fear that she had must have been rooted in something that they just later on decided to, like, change or not go forward with. The dramatization definitely did not understand. I would have cried. Like, I just imagine, I mean, I'm sure there were scenes of, like, Arnav being worried, but given being the, what do you want to call it, like, representative for Arnav in this podcast, if that had happened, if I had a sister and she was doing this, if you pan over to my face, I guarantee you my expression would be like, what the fuck is happening? Did she go insane? Like, do I have to take you to a psychiatric hospital? Like, this would be my face. And I just imagine in my head, like, I think those are the parts they didn't show us. Arnav just looking completely confused about what's happening in front of him.
No, I would totally believe this if people, like, told Anjali her husband is dead, but Anjali's like, no, my husband will come back alive kyunki mera sindoor is still on my head. Like, I'm just saying the amount of dramatization they showed, I would have been totally sure if people told that maybe the train that Shyam is supposed to arrive in had come across, like, you know, a crash or something, but Anjali is in the mandir because she's pretty sure that Shyam would turn up, and then Shyam turned up, because the way she goes and hugs him, I'm like, are you sure he's not an army man or someone whose return is not fixed?
Yeah, or like the plot point could have been that Shyam's just a dirty lawyer and had a lot of enemies that he didn't think Anjali knew, and she knew. Like, there needed to be something where there was an actual threat to his life. Like, people get into traffic jams, especially in Delhi. I think it's a bit unnatural for you to assume that everyone will be there on time. So there's that. This isn't a technical thing. This is a writing thing. Well, I guess, which is technical, but I didn't. This is where you start the rewriting of Lavanya's character. by the Raisa the Parivar. Like, just this Anjali calling her and telling her to come to the mandir in a sari is basically where they start interfering with the relationship. To me, Lamanya and Arnab's relationship, and I'll talk more about this in the next episode because it'll give me a chance to, but that relationship was not a good one, and it would have come to its natural end regardless of, you know, this family being a part of it or Khushi entering the picture, whatever. But at this point, like, the interference by the family starting and sort of trying to mold Lavanya to be the perfect Indian bahu, that, like, it stuck to me. It kind of starts with, like, Tej, and it is really unfortunate that in a show where they did break a lot of Indian TV stereotypes, this is one that they decided to keep around, that a girl is supposed to be a certain way to be worthy of marriage, to be welcomed into a traditional family. I don't know. Like, fundamentally, they were trying to change who she is so that they could find her to fit their standards of, I don't know, a bahu, I guess.
Yeah, and this is where I think there's also a slight shift of Lavanya as a character, because up until now we get as Lavanya someone who is more interested in the relationship, but she's also someone who clearly knows what is the extent of their relationship. Like, up until this point, we know that Lavanya would want something more from Arnav, but she also knows very well that this is not heading towards marriage or things like that. But in this one, I think we get a shift where Lavanya is excited to keep a fast. I mean, at least thank God she's excited. They kept that. She's excited to keep a fast. She's excited to meet his family. And if they explode this more, I think we could have gotten, like, somewhere down the line, maybe the road that Lavanya was probably interested in being a part of the Raisadas, marrying Arnav and being a part of his family that we never get to see. So it's this really weird thing, because if I was in a relationship with a man where I did not see a long future, I would find it incredibly weird if his family told me to fast for him for some puja. I'd just be like, I think you gotta talk to your son or your brother about what is this relationship.
I don't quite mind, like, Lavanya's side of things, because I think to me she always considered her relationship with Arnav to be something more than it was. I think her holding herself back was so he didn't react in, like, he didn't. I think if Arnav knew how much. This is the interesting thing. I think Lavanya thinks Arnav does not know. So she tries to hold back a little bit of her own way of expressing love, or how much she loves him and how deep she considers the relationship. Arnav pretends not to know because it serves him not to. He gets the girlfriend that listens to... I'll go into the scene a little bit more later, but I think it was a perfect disaster of a relationship in that neither party was being truthful or honest in with their feelings. So Lavanya's behavior to me is understandable, given the fact that she thinks, I think, that it has a future. So she wants to make his family happy as well, especially given the fact that Arnav cares so much about his family. I think Lavanya knows that and wants to be someone that the family could respect. To me, the entire, like, Raisa the Parivar is just absolute, like, assholes, I guess I would, if I was being honest. Like, to look at a person and be like, you need to fundamentally change who you are for me to accept you, is not okay. And it's shown, like, the issue I have with it is that they never get back to this. They never show that they were in the wrong to want to change Lavanya. Like, if they had gone on this track, given Indian culture and how, like, people of certain generation behave, etc., it's truthful to do it this way, and it's the reality. But I also feel like, I don't know, you're either pushing the traditional narrative forward or you're breaking the mold, in which case you're acknowledging that this is you should have acknowledged that this is not okay, which they never did. So to me, this is one of like the bigger misses of IPK.
Yeah, indeed. I think that's Inshaal, that's very right. Like, it's never brought into the perspective that the way they're treating Lavanya is wrong, because the way Nani treats Lavanya is kind of the way Mami treats Payal, like just not liking Payal because she exists as the object of affection, if I wanted to say. So I think that is the problem that happens, but we are always reminded that the way Mami is thinking about Payal is very prejudiced and it's based on her own personal experiences, and there are many people who are vocally telling her that it's wrong. So it was not wrong for Nani to harbor those feelings. I think it's just weird. It's just weird because no one points out that what's happening is wrong.
Arnav does, and he's supposed to be the bad guy or the wrong person in that situation. Even when he does, like, to me, sometimes he says the right things, the in the instances where he is being a good boyfriend to her, it's almost shown as if he's not being a good son to the family, and I have a lot of issues with that.
Yeah, but anyways, I think now it's a good point for us to shift to what did we technically like about the thing. So just some quick things. I love the cinematography in this track. I think it's so beautiful. One camera thing that I really like is the rack focus. And rack focus is like, you know, when Arnav and Kushi both are on screen, the focus is on Arnav's face, so Kushi's a bit blurry, and then it softly changes, the focus softly changes to Kushi's face, so Arnav in the background is a bit blurry. So that is a rack focus, where the focus changes between the background and the foreground. And I think that's very beautiful because it just highlights, it guides the audience whom to look at, where to look at. So, you know, those little misses between Arnav and Kushi, that they're standing in the same frame, unable to see each other. It just brings a bit more life and spark into that. Also, like, aesthetically, this is a very pleasing track. Everything is so good to look at. Everything is so wonderful to watch. I also, like, costume-wise, I really like how Arnav, Kushi, and Akash and Payal are very complimentary. Like, in the morning of the Tej, Arnav is wearing this dark purple magenta kind of suit, and Kushi's wearing white and pink. So they both look really nice. Whereas Payal is wearing purple and Akash is wearing blue. And again, they just aesthetically match a lot. Even for the evening, I think black and orange and white and green, they make a wonderful, both the pairs look actually very, very sweet next to each other. Then some other things is, I love this one shot where Arnav is in the car and he rolls the window down with Kushi on the reflection. You know, a picture says 1,000 words. That still is what is my most favorite still from Tej, because it says so much. It says so much that Kushi got his reflection and he's just rolling the window down. It is very beautiful and very carefully, you look at these shots and you know that a lot of thought has gone to create that. And I love, love, love it. Editing, in general, I love the editing of this episode because this is an episode where a lot of dramatic things happen. You have every stereotype being, every cliche, every trope being applied to show that Arnav and Kushi are fated. Sindoor batao, or the puja, or anything, like, you know, him breaking her fast, him stopping her fall, like, it's like a bucket full of tropes, romantic tropes being thrown in. But the editing is so simple, the background score is so simple that we actually get to enjoy it, as opposed to be like, oh, this is over-dramatized. Like how I just said, right? Like how we were discussing about how pre-Shams entry, everything is over-dramatized. Over here, something big is happening. The two main leads who you never thought would come back together are still a crossing path. And the music that they choose is really subtle. And I think that is a very good decision because it allows one, it allows the actors, it allows the audience to see the actors' reaction and understand everything from the actors. And simplicity always hits you harder.
At least with the fall during the temple thing, I'm pretty sure the music starts off being dramatic and it abruptly pauses and switch in my head. Maybe I'm incorrect in this, but I think when Arnav's running towards her, it's more, it's more dramatic. But the minute he catches her hand, it shifts to a softer tune that they have. I could have been, I might just be completely making this up, but I think that's what that shift also works. But like, they use music very intentionally in the initial episodes, and they also use, I got this wrong in the quiz, so now I remember. They use the Mola Mira Mola track, right? During the, sir, like, when she's doing puja.
Tu hi bata mere mola.
Oh, yeah, that one. Forgot the title of it. But it's nice to have, like, distinctive movements. Given a lot of romantic movements start happening, music can really evoke emotion. So I like having those shifts to inform a viewer how they should be feeling. It's kind of manipulative, but I suppose that's what art's supposed to do.
Yes, I absolutely agree. And I think one of the beautiful things about using Tu Hi Bata Mere Maula is that there's a lot of confusion. Many people might interpret in several levels as to what's happening between Arnav and Khushi. Like, one of the reasons why I never like cue Dard Hai Itna is because it was very clear what Arnav and Khushi are feeling in those things. And the beauty of Tu Hi Bata Mere Maula is it's kind of if a narrator was singing about those two, as opposed to, they're not talking about what Arnav is feeling or Khushi is feeling. I think there's a beauty in that mystery that we don't ever know completely what these two are feeling. This is more like a narrator speaking about, look at these two people, there is love, there's hatred, there's collision, there's attraction, look at what's happening. And I think that works a lot in getting the audience hooked into the moment, as opposed to Kyun Dard Hai Itna, which is apparently supposed to be from Arnav and Khushi's perspective, and that's just an over the top. So I really like, and as you said, there are so many romantic moments and Rabba ways happening back to back that this Tu Hi Bata Mere Maula stands out. And then three cheers for the makeup. Sanaya's makeup is beautiful. It's that light faded makeup that she has that's natural and soft and enhances her beauty. She really does not need a lot to look beautiful, and I think they maximize that. And I also like the way the actors are positioned, like the characters are positioned and how it is shot during the Tu Hi Bata Mere Maula, because it's very subtle, but it almost looks like she's doing the puja for him, which is a very fated way of saying these two people will end up together. But it's very subtly done. Like, you don't, what I really love is the lack of dialogues. You don't have Khushi being like, I did puja for Arnav ji, I did puja for Mr. Raizada, or Arnav being like, I was in her line of sight. You don't have those dialogues. You just have both of them being shocked and surprised, and everything is left to the audience to interpret it however they want.
To kind of like expand on what as said, there's a lot of like back to back to back, like you're being thrown a lot of generic, I guess, like romantic tropes in these scenes, like the sindoor, for example. Yes, but it doesn't fall on her hair parting, it falls on her in general, so that adds a little more subtlety to it. The fact that he makes her drink water, it's never like it's cushy thinking it, but it's not I don't know. None of the moments that they show are like, they didn't make them a big deal. It's a big deal to us because we are watching it and we're like, oh my God, this is happening. This means that they're fated. It's unavoidable. They keep running into each other and whatever. But it's never conveying is done through expressions for the most part. So it's very subtle. It doesn't feel overbearing, which is nice. I really like their acting in these scenes too. There's like, I don't know, I mean, as you can comment on how much a director or a writer will guide these parts, but I really like the way they play their characters in these scenes. There's hesitance. When they meet or when they crash into each other, there's like that shock, and then followed by like some confusion by Arnav about this like tumultuous feeling that he has, and the hesitance. Khushi setting the boundary just by taking a step back, like she establishes that discomfort and like, this is not your place, you cannot touch me. And the fact that it pisses him off, which again he's confused about, like this is like so much of it done without a single dialogue, but you understand what's happening. So I really enjoyed that. I mean, it's like these are romantic tropes because they work, and I like the fact that they used them, but they were very subtle about it. There weren't many in-your-face moments.
Yes, and I just want to grab the costume designer and be like, why did you leave the show midway? Because the saris that she got for the costume designer, whoever they might be, they got for Kushi, Lavanya, and Payal. They're all so pretty. Lavanya looks fab. I think Lavanya is wearing the earrings Kushi wears in the pilot episode after coming onto the ramp. Just saying, fun fact. Do not want to spoil that if that spoils anything. But Payal also looks so pretty in that green. Kushi looks absolutely beautiful in that little sheer. Again, one thing that I really love in these costumes is that what Anjali is wearing looks like 10 times the amount of money spent on what Payal and Kushi is wearing. Like, it's pretty within the price range that Buaji would have been able to afford for them. And I think I always love that they maintain, like, even the jewelry. You look, one look at Anjali's and you're like, okay, that looks like real cut stones. One look at Kushi's and Payal's and you're like, yeah, okay, those are imitation jewelry. But you know what? It still looks nice. It still looks pretty, and they look beautiful I don't want to sound like a pricky person, but I'm like, they look good for how much they can afford. So that works. It's a good reminder. Like, one thing that really bugs me in later shows that this person tells that they're a middle class person, but they seem to have raided Zara for their everyday outfits. And I'm like, please, I want to be middle class like you. And then apart from that, I love this little, like, you know, I think this is also editing. I really like this towards the end of Tej when Kushi and Payal are leaving the mandir. You constantly switch between Akash and Payal and Kushi and Arnav, and that is so great to watch because those two have, the emotions are so contradictory. Like, the only thing that's common between both the pairs is that they're attracted to each other and they look at each other, but the feelings are like a total 180. So you go from a...
This is again one of those things that makes me mad that was never explored. Is, I think Arnav and Payal could have had like a great relationship, and Kushi and Akash, you kind of see it during Payal and Akash's wedding, but it quickly fades. Because I feel like those two, like in this scene, Arnav's very confused and questioning, and Payal knows there's something, but she doesn't want to explore it given the heartbreak she just had. So it's very, I feel like those two could have understood each other, like could have been friends. Yeah, I'm sad that was never explored, but I like the weight they gave Payal and Akash in these scenes. I like post-marriage, they kind of disappear into the background, but they also provide a good fold to Arnav and Kushi's relationship, because it's like, I don't know about anyone else, but if I look at these two couples, I'm talking about pre-wedding, by the way. I would rather have, neither is perfect, but I'd rather have a relationship like the one Payal and Akash had than Arnav and Kushi's. Because it's great to look at, but boy, do they go through some shit. So it's a good fold to have, and they kind of lost it later on. Hi everyone, this is Ritz.
And I'm S.
And we are recording our 10th episode of this podcast. Who would have thought we would get here? Not me, given my past month and a half of absence. But yeah, I'm excited to get to double digits.
Yes, indeed. I am so happy. Thank you so much. We crossed 100 subscribers. Thank you to each and every person who's subscribed to us and gave our bakwas a wonderful chance. Thank you so much for your comments. I cannot stress enough ki each comment padke, we just have the biggest smile on our faces to read all of your thoughts. Thank you so, so, so much.
Yes, thank you. And I'm glad I have a co-host who can actually express emotions, because she doesn't joke around when she says I'm like Arnav. it's very hard for me to say anything really outside of being angry. So, but thank you for listening and interacting with us. And yeah, I mean, I think it's a good thing because we have these conversations anyway, and we would have recorded anyway, even if like no one's listening, because we're that kind of crazy. But it's nice to have people around who listen, interact, let us know what they think, because at the end of the day, this is, IPK to me was a big community, and I'm glad to have it back 10 years down the line.
Yeah, exactly. So in the following weeks, there will be an interesting pattern. We'll be getting a flurry of guests who will be a part of our show. So be excited for that. Nobody famous, yaar. It's our own colleagues and friends. And
actually, we have Barun on next week, Sanaya the week after, you know, just manifest it into existence. As, but no, I apologize. I will not be a part of all of the podcast episodes. My work has really been kicking my butt recently. So I'll be in a few of the episodes and most of like the other segments, like top tens, or if I ever get around to other quizzes and stuff like that. But the main episodes, S will be hosting with wonderful co-hosts along the way. I hope you love them all as much as you have loved me, and support them too. So yeah, that's my spiel and apologies all done. Now we can actually go on to one of my favorite parts of the show. I think the longer this goes on, the less I'll say that, just so you are aware. But we will be talking about Teej today as a whole. Both, I guess, big events of Teej, like I categorize them in like different outfits, but however you think about them. S, what do you want to talk about first? What you liked or what you didn't like?
Oof, kya batao? Like as Rid said, this is one of the earlier golden, like it's these really good episodes that cemented IPK for what it could be. And basically Teej is also one of my favorite tracks in the show. And I mean, in the first thing in the morning, they call it Ber Sarai ka, like I think Ber Sarai is a place where they go and they do the puja thing. So I mean, my two cents on the Teej episode is, in general, I love it how they show this clear distinction between attraction and love, and they're maintaining it. It's easy to lose steam after some time. Like, you're attracted to a person, then it goes off. Like, you know, you don't feel anything more. But over here, they kept that intensity of attraction. Like, you can clearly look at the screen and be like, yeah, these two are not in love with each other. Aisa kuch hua nahi. There's not been a moment for them to fall in love. Have they started slipping? Yes. Are they intensely attracted to each other? That is also yes. So I'll jump to the technical things that I did not like, or technical things that stood out. Not much really. It's very, very insignificant. One thing, it's not a problem, it's just I noticed, is that Payal's dupatta changed from what Akash had originally given to her. Her original dupatta did not have a border to it. This one did. And I'm like, oh, interesting. Dupatta badal gaya. So that is there. And the second thing that I did not like, but perhaps it's okay given Indian television standards and expectations, is just until the moment that Shyam arrives, it is so, not Shyam's arrival, that's different. But until the moment he arrives, it is so dramatized. So dramatized. I'm like, what is this? Like, is a mythological demon going to make an appearance? Like, kya ho raha hai? And I think one of the reasons why I have my little bit of issues with Anjali crying and howling, and she starts doing this aarti like there's some ghost possessed in her. Like, that sequence, I skip every single time. I mean, due credit to the actors and cinematographers and everything, but oh my God, she takes that whole aarti thing and she's like doing puja after god and like tears streaming down her eyes, I would literally feel her husband is coming back from the army. Like, what's happening? And Anjali was so afraid in that whole, like, first of all, just technically it was over dramatized with so many shots that's been taking place. And I'll just switch a little bit to a story side that I didn't understand why Anjali was so afraid. Like, it's not that her husband was supposed to arrive a day earlier and he's not arrived and they're not being able to establish connection with him. She was literally on call with him, but the way she was howling and crying, I feel like we never get to know why that happened, because that fear looked a bit extra and unnecessary given that it did not have a foundation to it. But yeah, I just found, like, even with all the mantras and the puja and the whole heaven crashing down, that one sequence was a bit over the top for me. Technically, these are the issues I found a little bit. Payal got the new dupatta and Shyam ka, I don't know, Anjali pe mata chad gayi, something like that happened. What are yours, Rids?
Yeah, the Anjali sequence is weird. I still maintain that they had some track of maybe the, like, I don't know, there was something that they did not go forward with that exists, like, that was given to Diljit or, like, as a character reference that she knew of, that, you know, because I don't, none of the characters in IBK, at least the main or, like, primary supporting cast, are bad actors. So I don't think if it didn't exist in script or in a character brief in general, they would have acted it out on screen. So this, like, this worry that constantly plagued Anjali and this fear that she had must have been rooted in something that they just later on decided to, like, change or not go forward with. The dramatization definitely did not understand. I would have cried. Like, I just imagine, I mean, I'm sure there were scenes of, like, Arnav being worried, but given being the, what do you want to call it, like, representative for Arnav in this podcast, if that had happened, if I had a sister and she was doing this, if you pan over to my face, I guarantee you my expression would be like, what the fuck is happening? Did she go insane? Like, do I have to take you to a psychiatric hospital? Like, this would be my face. And I just imagine in my head, like, I think those are the parts they didn't show us. Arnav just looking completely confused about what's happening in front of him.
No, I would totally believe this if people, like, told Anjali her husband is dead, but Anjali's like, no, my husband will come back alive kyunki mera sindoor is still on my head. Like, I'm just saying the amount of dramatization they showed, I would have been totally sure if people told that maybe the train that Shyam is supposed to arrive in had come across, like, you know, a crash or something, but Anjali is in the mandir because she's pretty sure that Shyam would turn up, and then Shyam turned up, because the way she goes and hugs him, I'm like, are you sure he's not an army man or someone whose return is not fixed?
Yeah, or like the plot point could have been that Shyam's just a dirty lawyer and had a lot of enemies that he didn't think Anjali knew, and she knew. Like, there needed to be something where there was an actual threat to his life. Like people get into traffic jams, especially in Delhi. I think it's a bit unnatural for you to assume that everyone will be there on time. So there's that. This isn't a technical thing. This is a writing thing. Well, I guess, which is technical, but I didn't. This is where you start the rewriting of Lavanya's character by the Raisa the Parivar. Like, just this Anjali calling her and telling her to come to the mandir in a sari is basically where they start interfering with the relationship. I don't like to me, Lavanya and Arnav's relationship, and I'll talk more about this in the next episode because it'll give me a chance to, but that relationship was not a good one, and it would have come to its natural end regardless of, you know, this family being a part of it or Khushi entering the picture or whatever. But at this point, like, the interference by the family starting and sort of trying to mold Lavanya to be the perfect Indian bahu, that, like, it stuck to me. It kind of starts with, like, Tej, and it is really unfortunate that in a show where they did break a lot of Indian TV stereotypes, this is one that they decided to keep around, that a a girl is supposed to be a certain way to be worthy of marriage, to be welcomed into a traditional family. I don't know. Like, fundamentally, they were trying to change who she is so that they could find her to fit their standards of, I don't know, a bahu, I guess.
Yeah, and this is where I think there's also a slight shift of Lavanya as a character, because up until now we get as Lavanya someone who is more interested in the relationship, but she's also someone who clearly knows what is the extent of their relationship. Like, up until this point, we know that Lavanya would want something more from Arnav, but she also knows very well that this is not heading towards marriage or things like that. But in this one, I think we get a shift where Lavanya is excited to keep a fast. I mean, at least thank God she's excited. They kept that. She's excited to keep a fast. She's excited to meet his family. And if they explored this more, I think we could have gotten, like, somewhere down the line, maybe the road that Lavanya was probably interested in being a part of the Raisadas, marrying Arnav and being a part of his family that we never get to see. So it's this really weird thing, because if I was in a relationship with a man where I did not see a long future, I would find it incredibly weird if his family told me to fast for him for some puja. I'd just be like, I think you gotta talk to your son or your brother about what is this relationship.
I don't quite mind, like, Lavanya's side of things, because I think to me she always considered her relationship with Arnav to be something more than it was. I think her holding herself back was so he didn't react in, like, he didn't. I think if Arnav knew how much. This is the interesting thing. I think Lavanya thinks Arnav does not know. So she tries to hold back a little bit of her own way of expressing love, or how much she loves him and how deep she considers the relationship. Arnav pretends not to know because it serves him not to. He gets the girlfriend that listens to... I'll go into the scene a little bit more later, but I think it was a perfect disaster of a relationship in that neither party was being truthful or honest in with their feelings. So Lavanya's behavior to me is understandable, given the fact that she thinks, I think, that it has a future. So she wants to make his family happy as well, especially given the fact that Arnav cares so much about his family. I think Lavanya knows that and wants to be someone that the family could respect. To me, the entire, like, Raisa the Parivar is just absolute, like, assholes, I guess I would, if I was being honest. Like, to look at a person and be like, you need to fundamentally change who you are for me to accept you, is not okay. And it's shown, like, the issue I have with it is that they never get back to this. They never show that they were in the wrong to want to change Lavanya. Like, if they had gone on this track, given Indian culture and how, like, people of certain generation behave, etc., it's truthful to do it this way, and it's the reality. But I also feel like, I don't know, you're either pushing the traditional narrative forward or you're breaking the mold, in which case you're acknowledging that this is you should have acknowledged that this is not okay, which they never did. So to me, this is one of, like, the bigger misses of IPK.
Yeah, indeed. I think that's very right. Like, it's never brought into the perspective that the way they're treating Lavanya is wrong. Because the way Nani treats Lavanya is kind of the way Mami treats Payal. Like, just not liking Payal because she exists as the object of affection, if I wanted to say. So I think that is the problem that happens. But we're always reminded that the way Mami is thinking about Payal is very prejudiced, and it's based on her own personal experiences. And there are many people who are vocally telling her that it's wrong. So it was not wrong for Nani to harbor those feelings. I think it's just weird. It's just weird because no one points out that what's happening is wrong.
Arnav does, and he's supposed to be the bad guy or the wrong person in that situation. Even when he does, like, to me, sometimes he says the right things. In the instances where he is being a good boyfriend to her, it's almost shown as if he's not being a good son to the family. And I have a lot of issues with that.
Yeah. But anyways, I think now it's a good point for us to shift to what did we technically like about the thing. So just some quick things. I love the cinematography in this track. I think it's so beautiful. One camera thing that I really like is the rack focus. And rack focus is like, you know, when Arnav and Kushi both are on screen, the focus is on Arnav's face, so Kushi's a bit blurry, and then it softly changes, the focus softly changes to Kushi's face, so Arnav in the background is a bit blurry. So that is a rack focus, where you where the focus changes between the background and the foreground. And I think that's very beautiful because it just highlights, it guides the audience whom to look at, where to look at. So, you know, those little misses between Arnav and Kushi, that they're standing in the same frame, unable to see each other, it just brings a bit more life and spark into that. Also, like, aesthetically, this is a very pleasing track. Everything is so good to look at. Everything is so wonderful to watch. I also, like, costume-wise, I really like how Arnav, Kushi, and Akash and Payal are very complementary. Like, in the morning of the Tej, Arnav is wearing this dark purple magenta kind of suit, and Kushi's wearing white and pink. So they both look really nice. Whereas Payal is wearing purple and Akash is wearing blue. And again, they just aesthetically match a lot. Even for the evening, I think black and orange and white and green, they make a wonderful. Both the pairs look actually very, very sweet next to each other. Then some other things is, I love this one shot where Arnav is in the car and he rolls the window down with Kushi on the reflection. You know, a picture says 1,000 words. That still is what is my most favorite still from Tej, because it says so much. It says so much that Kushi got his reflection and he's just rolling the window down. It is very beautifully and very carefully. You look at these shots and you know that a lot of thought has gone to create that. And I love it. Editing in general, I love the editing of this episode, because this is an episode where a lot of dramatic things happen. You have every stereotype being, every cliche, every trope being applied to show that Arnav and Kushi are fated. Sindoor batao, or the puja, or anything, like, you know, him breaking her fast, him stopping her fall, like, it's like a bucket full of tropes, romantic tropes being thrown in. But the editing is so simple. The background score is so simple that we actually get to enjoy it, as opposed to be like, oh, this is over dramatized. Like how I just said, right? Like how we were discussing about how pre-Shams entry, everything is over dramatized. Over here, something big is happening. The two main leads who you never thought would come back together are still crossing paths. And the music that they choose is really subtle. And I think that is a very good decision, because it allows one, it allows the actors, it allows the audience to see the actor's reaction and understand everything from the actors. And simplicity always hits you harder.
At least with the fall during the temple thing, I'm pretty sure the music starts off being dramatic and it abruptly pauses and switches. In my head, maybe I'm incorrect in this, but I think when Arnav's running towards her, it's more... more dramatic, but the minute he catches her hand, it shifts to a softer tune that they have. I might just be completely making this up, but I think that shift also works well. Like, they use music very intentionally in the initial episodes, and they also use, I got this wrong in the quiz, so now I remember. They use the Mola Mera Mola track, right? During the, sir, like, when she's doing puja.
Tu hi bata mere mola.
Oh yeah, that one. Forgot the title of it. But it's nice to have, like, distinctive moments. Given a lot of romantic moments start happening, music can really evoke emotion. So I like having those shifts to inform a viewer how they should be feeling. It's kind of manipulative, but I suppose that's what art's supposed to do.
Yes, I absolutely agree. And I think one of the beautiful things about using Tu Hi Bata Mere Mola is that there's a lot of confusion. Many people might interpret in several levels as to what's happening between Arnav and Khushi. Like, one of the reasons why I never like kyun dard hai itna is because it was very clear what Arnav and Khushi are feeling in those things. And you, the beauty of Tu Hi Bata Mere Maula is it's kind of if a narrator was singing about those two, as opposed to, it's not, they're not talking about what Arnav is feeling or Khushi is feeling. I think there's a beauty in that mystery that we don't ever know completely what these two are feeling. This is more like a narrator speaking about, look at these two people, what, there is love, there's hatred, there's collision, there's attraction, look at what's happening. And I think that works a lot in getting the audience hooked into the moment, as opposed to Kyun Dard Hai Itna, which is apparently supposed to be from Arnav and Khushi's perspective, and that's just an over the top. So I really like, and as you said, there are so many romantic moments and rabbaways happening back to back that this Tu Hi Bata Mere Maula stands out. And then three cheers for the makeup. Sanaya's makeup is beautiful. It's that light faded makeup that she has that's natural and soft and enhances her beauty. She really does not need a lot to look beautiful, and I think they maximize that. And I also like the way the actors are positioned, like the characters are positioned and how it is shot during the Tu Hi Bata Mere Maula, because it's very subtle, but it almost looks like she's doing the puja for him, which is a very fated way of saying these two people will end up together. But it's very subtly done. Like, you don't, what I really love is the lack of dialogues. You don't have Khushi being like, I did puja for Arnav ji, I did puja for Mr. Raizada, or Arnav being like, I was in her line of sight. You don't have those dialogues. You just have both of them being shocked and surprised, and everything is left to the audience to interpret it however they want.
To kind of like expand on what as said, it's, there's a lot of like back to back to back, like you're being thrown a lot of generic, I guess, like romantic tropes in these scenes, like the sindoor, for example. Yes, but it doesn't fall on her hair parting, it falls on her in general, so that gives, that adds a little more subtlety to it. The fact that he makes her drink water, it's never like it's Khushi thinking it, but it's not I don't know. None of the moments that they show are like, they didn't make them a big deal. It's a big deal to us because we are watching it and we're like, oh my God, this is happening. This means that they're fated. It's unavoidable. They keep running into each other and whatever. But it's never conveying is done through expressions for the most part. So it's very subtle. It doesn't feel overbearing, which is nice. I really like their acting in these scenes too. There's like, I don't know. I mean, as you can comment on how much a director or a writer will guide these parts, but I really like the way they play their characters in these scenes. There's hesitance. When they meet or when they crash into each other, there's like that shock, and then followed by like some confusion by Arnav about this like tumultuous feeling that he has, and the hesitance. Khushi setting the boundary just by taking a step back, like she establishes that discomfort and like, this is not your place, you cannot touch me. And the fact that it pisses him off, which again he's confused about, like this is like so much of it done without a single dialogue, but you understand what's happening. So I really enjoyed that. I mean, it's like, these are romantic tropes because they work, and I like the fact that they use them, but they were very subtle about it. There weren't many in-your-face moments.
Yes, and I just want to grab the costume designer and be like, why did you leave the show midway? Because the saris that she got for the costume designer, whoever they might be, they got for Khushi, Lavanya, and Payal, they're all so pretty. Lavanya looks fab. I think Lavanya is wearing the earrings Khushi wears in the pilot episode after coming onto the ramp. Just saying, fun fact. Do not want to spoil that if that spoils anything. But Payal also looks so pretty in that green. Khushi looks absolutely beautiful in that little sheer. Again, one thing that I really love in these costumes is that what Anjali is wearing looks like 10 times the amount of money spent on what Payal and Khushi's wedding. Like, it's pretty within the price range that Buaji would have been able to afford for them. And I think I always love that they maintain, like, even the jewelry. You look, one look at Anjali's and you're like, okay, that looks like real cut stones. One look at Khushi's and Payal's and you're like, yeah, okay, those are imitation jewelry. But you know what? It still looks nice. It still looks pretty and they look beautiful I don't want to sound like a pricky person, but I'm like, they look good for how much they can afford. So that works. It's a good reminder. Like, one thing that really bugs me in later shows that this person tells that they're a middle-class person, but they seem to have raided Zara for their everyday outfits. And I'm like, please, I want to be middle-class like you. And then apart from that, I love this little, like, you know, I think this is also editing. I really like this towards the end of Tej when Khushi and Payal are leaving the mandir. You constantly switch between Akash and Payal and Khushi and Arnav. And that is so great to watch because those two have, the emotions are so contradictory. Like, the only thing that's common between both the pairs is that they're attracted to each other and they look at each other. But the feelings are like a total 180. So you go from a...
This is again one of those things that makes me mad that was never explored. Is, I think Arnav and Payal could have had like a great relationship, and Khushi and Akash, you kind of see it during Payal and Akash's wedding, but it quickly fades. Because I feel like those two, like in this scene, Arnav's very confused and questioning, and Payal knows there's something, but she doesn't want to explore it given the heartbreak she just had. So it's very, I feel like those two could have understood each other, like could have been friends. Yeah, I'm sad that was never explored, but I like the weight they gave Payal and Akash in these scenes. I like post-marriage, they kind of disappear into the background, but they also provide a good fold to Arnav and Khushi's relationship, because it's like, I don't know about anyone else, but if I look at these two couples, I'm talking about pre-wedding, by the way. I would rather have, neither is perfect, but I'd rather have a relationship like the one Payal and Akash had than Arnav and Khushi's. Because it's great to look at, but boy, do they go through some shit. So it's a good fold to have, and they kind of lost it later on.